ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्म एधि आविराविर्म एधि आविराविर्म एधि आविराविर्म एधि वेदस्य मानिस्थः वेदस्य मानिस्थः वेदस्य मानिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः मे मा प्रहासीः अनेनाधीतेन होरात्रान् सन्दधामि होरात्रान् सन्दधामि अनेनाधीतेन होरात्रान् सन्दधामि अनेनाधीतेन होरात्रान् सन्दधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
So I will go to the first mantra. the paper. Om Atma va
Atma va
Idam
Idam
Eka
Eka
Evagra Asit
Evagra Asit
Nanyat Kinchana Mishat
Nanyat Kinchana Mishat
Sa Ikshata
Sa Ikshata
Lokan
Lokan
Sruja Iti
Sruja Iti
Atma Va
Atma Va
Idam
Idam
Yekaha
Yekaha
Yeva
Eva
Agre
Agre
Asit
Asit
What has to be ultimately understood by studying any Upanishad is Atma. Because Atma Jnanam, it is the knowledge of the Atma which will bless us with the Mokshaha, the choiceless end. Therefore, here Upanishad begins introducing the Atma. This Atma was, Atma Asit. Atma Asit means Atma was there before. When was Atma there? Always Atma was, beginninglessly Atma was. And Atma which was there alone, now, in the form of this universe which we are experiencing now. This object, this universe which is available for objectification, available for knowledge, understanding, perception, this perceptible Jagat universe, Drishyamana Anubhuyamana Prapanchaha, what is now is actually nothing but that Atma which was before. The Atma which was there before alone is now in the form of this universe. Idam is a third person singular pronoun which means this. And this indicates, a pronoun indicates this universe, indicates the universe. Which universe? The universe which is being experienced, which is available for objectification, experience and perception, enjoyment. This that the universe is indicated by this pronoun idam. Therefore, idam. Idam, you could add what now? Jagat. Idam jagat. I am lokaha. I am prapanchaha. Idam jagat, which is anubhuyamanaha, which is being experienced now, was before as the Atma. And the Atma which was before is now in the form of this universe. So what does this sentence reveal now? Which means, Atma was there before, the same Atma continues to be here now in the form of this universe. Which means the substance which existed before as the Atma, the Vastu, the reality which existed as the Atma before, is now also, continues to exist in the form of the universe. So there is no difference between the substance. The word Idam Jagat, Atma, Atma also is Vastu. Idam Jagat also is the Atma. Atma also is Atma. Idam Jagat also is Atma. So there is no difference between, there is no difference. The substantial difference is not there. Substance is the same. If substance is the same, like what? Before the creation of the pot, there was clay. And now also the clay which was there before the creation of the pot continues to exist in the form of a pot now. which means clay was before, clay is now. Clay also is clay, pot also is clay. So before the creation of the furniture, the wood was, and now also the wood continues to exist in the form of this furniture. Which means furniture is wood, the wood also is wood. Which means substance is the same. But then why do we use two different words then? Atma, Jagat. Wood, furniture. Clay, pot. Why do we use two different terms then? Because substance is one, two different terms we use because the difference is in their state. What is a state? When you say Atma, Atma, the causal state we use, when this Vastu is in the causal state, we use the term Atma. And when Vastu is in the state of an effect, you use the word Jagat. The Vastu is in the causal, state. Karana avasthayam yada vartate, tada, you say what? Clay, mrittika. When kari avasthayam yada vartate, you say ghataha. When it is in the state of an effect, as an effect it is pot, as cause it is clay. As an effect it is furniture, as cause it is wood. Similarly, as cause it is Atma, as effect it is the Jagat. So this karana karya avastha bedaha, this difference is in the states. At least with the substance there is no difference, same substance, one and the same substance, which was, which continues to be there later also. Therefore, if the Jagat and the Atma have karana karya sambandha, then there is what? No, the Jagat has no independent existence. And Jagat does not exist outside of the Atma. Jagat and Atma are inseparable, non-separate. The inseparability, non-separateness of Atma and the Jagat is revealed by the very sentence. Atma asit, when? Agre, before. Before means when? Purvameva, agre, before Atma was. So Atma was means Atma was there beginninglessly. And the same Atma now asti, Jagat Rupena Bhati. The same Atma continues to exist in the form of the universe, the cosmos. Asti. So from here what do you understand now? Therefore if it is, if whenever we talk about the inseparability of the cause and the effect, definitely what cause in Atma must be? Atma is the upadana karanam. Atma, the material cause of the universe is Atma. The sentence also makes it very clear, material cause of the universe is Atma. The non-separateness of the cause and the effect you can talk about only if it is the material cause. The material cause of the universe is what? Upadana karanam of the Jagat is Atma. That is revealed here. Okay, that is upadana karanam. Then we have to say what sort of Atma is it? Kidrushaha Atma. Jagataha upadana karanatvena. The Atma which is in the form of the upadana karanam. Now we understand as upadana karanam the material cause of the universe. What sort of Atma is this? Kidrushaha. What comes now? Look at this. First word, Ekaha. Ekaha. Atma, Ekaha. Ekaha, you all know very well. Ekam, neuter gender word. Eka, feminine gender word. Ekam, no, neuter gender word. Ekaha, masculine, you know very well. Ekaha, one. So Atma was one. That word Ekaha implies Atma Surupam being oneness. Oneness of the Atma is emphasized by that word Ekaha. Atma is one. When it is said one, what it implies is Atma being free from the differences. Atma is free from all sorts of differences, all forms of differences. First, what is we can say, there is no object in the world which is free from differences. Every object is subject to certain differences. For example, if you take an object called tree, vrikshaha, when you say tree, is the tree one? If you ask, you can say ekaha vrikshaha, one tree you can say, but one tree is not just one thing. The many parts put together constitute one tree. Ekaha vrik bahuna, you know, the many parts put together is what? One tree. Branches, trunk, roots, stalks, leaves, flowers, fruits, many parts put together is what? One tree. Similarly, if we take a vehicle called car, many spare parts put together is what? One vehicle called car. So it is not one, isn't it? One car, but many parts put together is a car. Similarly, many parts put together is a tree. Many parts put together is an individual human being. In a human body, if you take, you have many parts, head, and each part is different from every other part. Every part is different from every other part. Within one object, there are differences. There is a difference between every object, every part. This difference obtaining within one object, one object or one being, is called swagata bhedaha. Swagata bhedaha. Vrikshegata bhedaha. Vrikshagata swagata bhedaha. No, manushye gata bhedaha. Swagata bhedaha. Your head is different, hands are different, thighs are different, shanks are different from other parts, feet are different, toes are different, fingers are different, nails are different. And if you open, again lungs are different, kidneys are different, heart is different. My God, isn't it? So every organ is different from every other organ. Every part is different from every other part. What is a human body? All these parts put together is what? A human being. But within one object, there are parts which are different from each other. And this difference is called swagata bhedaha. So atma is ekaha. This eka shabdaha here, ekaha, the shabda, this one word implies atma being free from swagata bhedaha. If atma is free from swagata bhedaha, free from this differences obtaining within one object, one thing, what does it mean? Atma is partless. Partlessness is the nature of the atma. Atma is free from parts, partless. Because atma is partless, due to its partlessness, atma is what? Indivisible. Anything which has parts, the partful is divisible. The partless is indivisible. Therefore, the eka shabdaha implies atma being free from swagata bhedaha. Thereby it implies atma being partless, and thereby it implies atma being indivisible. So indivisibility, partlessness, oneness, all these are implied, being nature of the atma, implied by this one word, ekaha. Is it clear? Yeah. Swagata bhedaha. Now look in the next word. Now ekaha, then eva. Atma va idam. Okay, next. Ekaha eva. That eva is an indeclinable word. indeclinable word. Eva is used for emphatic expression. To emphasize something, use the eva karaha. Eva. You know, suppose we say fruit juice, pala rasaha. You will say what? Na jalam. Pala rasaha na jalam. I say pala rasaha na jalam. Eva. If we say, what does it mean? It is not fruit juice, don't fool us, it is jalam eva. Understand? That eva is for emphasis. So here, atma ekaha, eva, then what does the eva shabda emphasis? Not only atma is free from swagata bedaha, atma is also free from sajatiya bedaha. Sajatiya bedaha means what? So, different, suppose, now one human being is different from the other person. One tree is different from another tree. One house is different from another house. One animal is different from another animal. So, the difference between the objects or things or beings belonging to one category or species is what called sajatiya bhedaha. The two elephants, both elephants belong to one jati, elephant jati. But we say first small elephant and big elephant also we say. So within the elephant jati, this same jati, same category, same species, there is a difference. That is sajatiya bhedaha. The second elephant must be there for one elephant to be different from another elephant. Second tree must be there for one tree to be different from another tree. Or more than second, or more, there must be more than one. There must be more than one. Must be there for one to be different from the other. Now, here we can say, now take the example of space, akashaha. Space. Akashaha, the space is free from swagata bhedaha, isn't it? The space is partless, therefore it is indivisible whole. Partless, indivisible whole, therefore space is ekaha, akashaha ekaha. Ekaha eva, can you say? Yes, you can say. Why? There is no second space. So akashaha also is what now? Free from sugata bedaha. Akashaha is also free from sajatiya bedaha. There is no second space. Isn't it? That eva shabdaha implies atma being free from sajatiya bhedaha. There is no second atma, the secondlessness. So the eva shabdaha implies atma being secondless. Atma being free from sajatiya bhedaha. Then, if we see the next word, look at this. Ekaha eva agre asit. Now if you ask, is space free from swagata bedaha, sajatiya bedaha? Fine. But is atma free from vijatiya bedaha? If atma is free from sajatiya, there is no second space, fine. But other than space, is there anything else? Of course, there is so other four elements. It's like elements. Other four elements. A space, na all other, every element, every other element is different from space. Space is different. Akashaha bhinnaha. No, agni hi different. Fire is different. Water is different. Earth is different. Therefore, space is different from what? Other elements are different from the space. Therefore, they limit. Therefore, we say, Now, vijatihi, space, so same space is not there, but still other elements are there, belong to other category, isn't it? Therefore, now space has, space is subject to vijatiya bhedaha. Sajatiya means same, difference between the same species, beings of the same species. Like as I said, see, between the two cows, we can say one cow is different from other cow, sajatiya bhedaha. Now, cow is different from elephant. That is what? Then, vijatiya bhedaha. Different species, isn't it? So, now take the example, the one thing we should take, just the tree. The tree is what now? Partful, divisible, subject to swagata bhedaha. And tree, from the other tree, it is different from other tree, therefore it's subject to sajatiya bhedaha. And tree, now even with the tree, neem tree is different from mango tree, there again becomes vijatiya bhedaha. And the tree is different from what? Suppose a creeper or a herb. You can say a tree is different from an animal. A plant is different from an animal as a plant. So it is vijatiya bhedaha. Like that, every object in this universe is subject to these threefold differences. Now even space is subject to what? Vijatiya bhedaha. But what about the Atma? Atma, there is nothing which is different from the Atma here. Atma is not different. Therefore, nothing different from Atma means Atma is free from vijatiya bhedaha also. Why? Because not only secondless, Atma is also what? Natu ekam, ekatvat, advitiyatvat, advayatvat, due to its non-dual nature also what? No. There's nothing which is not the Atma here. Therefore, vijatiya bhedaha also is not there. Is it clear? It is too much of Sanskritam?
No.
Okay. Because sometimes these terms, we can't make them expressive in English. And that vija, that's what is mentioned next now. Na anyat kinchana. Na anyat. Atma eva asit. Atma eva jagadrupena asti. Atma eva jagadrupena asti means anyat, other than Atma, nothing else is here. Na anyat kinchana, not even little of anything other than Atma. Kinchit, na kinchit anyat, Atmanaha anyat, Atma vetiriktam anyat kinchidapi kimapi nasti. Not even little anything other than Atma is here. Na kinchana. So that nakinchana, that word negates what? Vijatiya bhedaha. You have to see each word, which word negates which bheda, you have to see. So eka shabdaha negates swagata bhedaha, eva shabdaha negates sajatiya bhedaha, na kinchit anyat kinchit na. Nothing else other than Atma is there. No, that word negates vijatiya bhedaha. Therefore, na anyat kinchana. Na anyat kinchana means what? Here Upanishad used only one word, mishat. So, unmeshanam, nimeshanam, closing of the eyes, opening of the eyes, unmeshanam, nimeshanam, we say. So, meshano, mishat. Means at a winking of the eyes is called mishati, in fact mishat. So mishat, in winking of the, literally it means winking of the eyes, it implies, it stands for life, no, beings with the life, beings which are alive, which are active. So the word mishat shabdaha stands for animate living beings. Chetana prapanchaha. It stands for animate, the beings, animate beings, living beings. So you have to supply Amishat also. From Shankara's commentary we understand Amishat also we should take. Amishat means what? Amishat stands for Achetana Prapancha, inert, inanimate. So he says, there is animate, inanimate, living, non-living, mobile, immobile, or Jivaha, Jagat, Ishwaraha, there is nothing which is nothing is different from Atma, which means everything, there is no difference. You can't say Jivaha is different from Atma, and then Jagati is different from Atma, Ishwara is different from Atma, their inert universe is different from Atma, or animate beings are different from Atma. No. Nothing. That's why na kinchana, na kinchit, nothing. One word implies negates everything. Therefore, Atma is free from Vijatiya Bhedaha also. With that much it says now. You can see. Mishat. So, nanyat kinchana mishat. So, what is that Atma which is free from swagata sajatiya vijatiya beda rahitaha Atma kidrushaha saha Atma? What is that Atma which is free from all these differences? One indivisible, partless whole. What is that Atma? What does the word Atma mean? Here we have, we let us see the meaning of the very word Atma first. why that Vastu? Vastu, the reality. Why is it impaired by the term Atma? We get four different words here. There is a root Aap. Aap means to reach, to attain. From there you can derive this verb apnoti. Apnoti means attains, reaches. Apnoti sarvam iti Atma. So the word apnoti implies all pervasiveness being the swarupam of the Atma. The reality is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. Apnoti sarvam iti Atma. One word. Then the second, what else is given here? What is the second thing? We say, Adatte iti Atma. Adatte. Adatte means that in which everything resolves, that which draws everything towards itself and have everything resolved in it, is called Adatte iti Atma. That in towards which everything goes and everything resolves. That which draws everything towards itself and thereby resolves everything in itself is called Atma. Adatte iti Atma. Tanpal yirt tannil nilikachivad. We say Adatte iti Atma. Apnoti iti Atma. Adatte iti Atma. The second meaning. And we say Atti iti Atma. Third verb is what? Atti. Atti means, literally it means eats. Eats, enjoys, experiences. So here we can say, what is that which experiences this entire cosmos? The world of objects. Loki is Atma. Lokaha. If there can't be a Lokaha, if there is no Loki, isn't it? If there is no perceiver, there can't be experienced. The object of experience cannot have the status of being the object of experience. There is no experience. Who is the one who obtains as the anubhokta? The experiencer of everything is who? Atma. For sarvam atti iti Atma. The one who experiences everything is Atma. For atti iti Atma. The third word. The fourth word we say, Aditi iti Atma. The one who exists always. Atma Nityatvam is revealed there. Now, one who exists always, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, that which exists always is what? Aditi iti Atma. is the four meanings given. Why? The vastu is simply with tamatma, adati iti atma, atti iti atma, adatte iti atma, sarvam apnoti iti atma. This is the atma, and this atma is what now? Eva asit. That all pervasive, all experiencing, all experiencing implies what? All knowing. All pervasive, all resolving, you know, Atma alone was there, and that Atma alone is in the form of this universe which is experienced now, and that Atma is free from all the differences to one indivisible, partless whole, and there is nothing other than that Atmana anyat kinchit. Nanyat kinchana mishat amishapicha, you can add. Okay. Now we say, what did that Atma, what did Atma do? You know, what does that Atma do? So this until this in the first mantra itself, till this word, Mishate, we understand the Atma being the material cause of this universe. Upanishad presents this. Now see the next one. Sa ikshata lokan nu srija iti. Sa here means, because it's a pronoun indicating the Atma which has been presented earlier. Saha. Visarga got dropped, and you will learn before you go in Sandhi class. Ganeshi will teach you why Visarga drops there. Okay? Saha Atma Ikshata. Saha Atma Ikshata. Ikshata, at least a chandasa prayoga, Vedic usage. Actually, it must be Ikshate, it's a present tense verb, sees. Or if it is past tense, it must be Aikshata. Actually, how should it be read now? Aikshata. Ikshate is found in the mantra. We should understand as what? Aikshata. Aikshata means saw. Atma saw. What did Atma saw? The word saw here implies the visualization of the Atma. Atma visualized. You have to be very patient. Immediately the thing, question might come. Oh, Atma visualized means how, what? Now like, questions come. You have to wait. The whole thing has been developed for you to understand. Okay? We already Taittiriya Masa we saw. So, Atma Aikshata. Saha Atma, that Atma which alone was there before the creation of the universe, which alone is now in the form of this universe, and which is one part, one all-pervasive, secondless, non-dual, indivisible, partless whole, that Atma visualized. Visualized means what? See, whenever the visualization, the word visualization comes, we should remember what? Visualization must be possible only on the part of a conscious being. That implies what now? Atma being even the efficient, intelligent cause of the universe. Not only Atma is the material cause, Atma is also the intelligent cause. So what did Atma visualize? You see, Lokan Srija Iti. So the imperative, first person, we say Srijai. Srija is, again, no, you should take it as Srijai. Let me create. Let me create the worlds. Lokan Srijai Iti Atma Saha Atma Aikshata. That Atma visualized, thought. It means what? Atma, that let me create the world. This second sentence, this next sentence within the first mantra itself shows what? Atma being the intelligent, efficient cause of the universe. You understand definitely very well. Wood and furniture are inseparable, but definitely not the carpenter. That's what we understand. But here we say, how is it possible for one thing to be both the causes? Nimitta karanam and upadana karanam of the jagat is Atma. The intelligent cause as well as the material cause of the universe is Atma. Is it possible? It is possible. We have only two examples. So all of you know very well, you have heard many times from me. I don't need to repeat it. If you do not remember, I can tell you again. Only two examples.
Spider.
Mundaka Upanishad, you have already studied, so you all remember. Urnana bihi yatha grin sujate grinnate cha. Spider is both efficient and the material cause of this own web. And you are intelligent and the material cause of your own dream. Swapna prapancha, no, maker and the material of your own dream is yourself. Therefore, the two examples should remember, definitely is possible. Therefore, Atma is both intelligent and the material cause of this universe. Okay, this much is presented. Now, hereafter, now Upanishad is going to present how the creation started, how the creation is going to happen. Now, it has to present now. Srishti has to be the Srishti Prakriya. Upanishad uses the Srishti Prakriya. We can say Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. The method of superimposition negation has to be used, and for which Upanishad has to present the creation. The topic of creation, the Srishti has to be presented. So in this Upanishad is going to begin, oh, what is going to come first? Like in Taittiriyam, we all studied all very beautifully, Srishti is presented. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhutah akasha vayuhu vayo ragnihi agnerapah adhyav prithivi prithivya oshadayah oshadibhyonam annat purushah. We saw already. That's how we also saw Mundakopanishad. That's another way of presentation of creation. In every Upanishad, the Srishtihi, the creation is presented. So here also creation is presented. And what is the purpose of presenting this Srishtihi, creation? That we are going to see later on. But before we enter into this topic of creation, we have to stop here. We have to think and we have to make few as things very clear. We have to ask this question now. Is this creation real, unreal, or as though real? Satyam uta mithya uta tuchyam. Nobody will say this creation is unreal. Why? Unreal means absolutely non-existent. We are not fools to say this universe is absolutely non-existent, because we ourselves are sitting here as part of the creation, experiencing the universe. How can we say it is tuchyam, unreal? We will not say that. The universe is definitely not unreal. But the next question comes, is it satyam, is it real or mithya? Is it real or is apparent? Is as though. But we, whatever we think. So, suppose. Why we have to ask this before even getting into the topic, so that you can be peaceful. When we discuss the creation, you will not have any confusion. Before itself, let us give some of our mind to this. If we take this universe as real, we'll have certain logical issues. But why do we have to say that? We have to see what are the problems we will face if we take this universe as real. Before seeing that, why we have to stop and think? All the people, majority of the people belong to different schools of thought. Karma kandinaha, mimamsakaha. Nayayikaha, the logicians, the tarkikaha, even yoga philosophers, dvaitinaha, visishtadvaitinaha, the people belong different schools of the, all of them are of the opinion, for them universe is real, jagat is real, creation is real for them. They all say creation is real. And they also use what? They also take Shruti as the Pramanam. They also quote the same Veda mantras. They are also Vaidikaha. Leave alone Avaidikaha. Leave alone the non-believers of the Veda. There are many who are Vaidikaha. They are all people who believe Veda, who take Veda as their source book, Veda as their means of knowledge, and they also say what? Universe is, creation is real. Therefore, we have to carefully understand. If we take this universe as real, what would be the problems? Look at this first. Let us see one by one, all the points we'll see. If we take this creation as real, then if the universe has come to existence from the Paramatma, Atma, which means Atma must have undergone a change to become the universe. Isn't it? If you really, because when you say, like milk is the cause, and from the milk alone has become the yogurt. If you say, there is also milk is the upadana karanam, it has undergone a change, and it is what? Parinami upadana karanam, undergone a change to become the effect. It has to go through certain processing to become an effect, isn't it? So if the cause undergoes a change to become an effect, it is a parinami upadana karanam. So for any cause to become an effect, it has to undergo a change. If the creation is real, if taken to be real, you would think that this universe has come into existence really from Atma, then Atma must have undergone a change. You would think Atma has undergone a change. If you think the universe is real, then Atma must undergo a change according to your thinking. If Atma undergoes a change, if you say, then what happens? The Shruti's statement contradicts Shruti's own words. Why? The same Veda, in Vedanta Shastram, the Veda says, what does the Vedanta say? Atma nirvikaraha. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Same Vedanta Shastram says, Atma is of the nature of changelessness. How can Shruti's words contradict? If Atma is of the nature of changelessness, and Atma undergoes a change to become the world, it contradicts, isn't it? Therefore, Shruti's words cannot be contradictory. Therefore, this universe cannot be real. One thing. And even if you think, okay, Atma Savikaraha, even if you take the Atma to be something subject to change, Atma must be something which is subject to change, therefore the universe has come into existence in the Atma, if you think also, then what happens? If Atma is subject to change, means Atma must be subject to all sixfold modifications. Why only one change? All the changes it should undergo then. If Atma also undergoes a change, what will happen? Not only asti, then jayate, and vardate, ipranamate, apakshiyate, kshiyate, finally what? Nashyati. And Atma also will be subject to destruction. And Atma also will perish means, what will happen? Why should we work very hard to attain immortality? You know, by knowing the Atma which is subject to destruction. Is it clear? Hope you are understanding. It's very important. I'm just telling you, this is the Mimamsa. analysis. I'm putting it in my own words for you. If this creation is taken to be real, then we should take the Atma as what? As something subject to change. If Atma is subject to change, and Atma is subject to all sixfold modifications, then Atma also will what, no, perish. If Atma is something perishable, how can knowledge of the perishable Atma will bless us with the attainment of immortality? What are you going to do here? Because you here, we want to say, we want to know the Atma. Why? You want to recognize your Surupam being the imperishable Atma. Only by recognizing yourself being Atma, and Atma Surupam being immortal, you want to attain immortality. So the attainment of moksha itself, with what now, will be impossible. Even the Atma Jnanam, the self-knowledge being the means of the attainment of moksha itself will be what? Will be a question. Become a question, which means everything will become a vain effort. The study of the Shastram will be what? What do you study the Vedanta Shastram for? Atma Jnanartham. Atma Jnanam is for what? Mokshartham. What is Atma Jnanam for? To attain moksha. Then what is the Atma? Atma is subject to? Atma is going to perish. Why? Atma has the nature of change. As Atma is subject to change. It's not right, isn't it? Therefore, this problem also will be there. Therefore, the creation cannot be real. Is it clear? Creation is not real. This is, you have to remember this. Then, suppose if creation is real, really, what happens whenever you study Upanishad, every Upanishad, finally, Upanishad carefully negates the creation. Even though Upanishad presents the creation, finally all the Upanishads negate the creation. There is a Nisheda Shrutihi. Jagan Nishedaha. Jagat is negated later on. Universe is negated. So negation of the universe, negation of the creation is done by the very Upanishad. If creation is real, why should Upanishad negate the universe? Because Upanishads carefully, beautifully negate the creation. Understand, this universe cannot be real. That's what you have to remember. Then one more point you have to remember here. Suppose, if Atma is the cause, and really this universe has come into existence from the Atma, then this universe is real means, then Dvaitam, duality becomes the reality. If the universe is taken to be real, then duality will be the reality. If duality is the reality, then knowledge of the duality will be what? Will be the means of the attainment of moksha. Then if duality is going to free you from bondage, then duality alone should be glorified and praised. But if you take all the Vedanta mantras, everywhere Dvaitam is in fact condemned. You read recently Mandukya Upanishad. There's a Dvaita Ninda is there, isn't it? Now Taittiriya Dvaitadhi Bhayam Bhavati. So everywhere Dvaitam is not glorified. Dvaitam is criticized in fact. Duality is not praised. Why duality is not praised? Because duality is the cause of bondage. Dvaitam, Dvaite Bandha, Advaite Mokshaha. Therefore duality is criticized. Because Shastram, in the Vedanta Shastram, every Upanishad, Dvaitam is criticized. Dvaitam is condemned. Therefore, if creation is taken to be real, then Dvaitam becomes the reality. And Dvaitam is reality means, Dvaitam becomes the reality means Dvaitam should be glorified. But Upanishads condemn Dvaitam. Therefore, creation cannot be real. Then you have to remember all these as points. Now one more question comes. Why should the Upanishads present Srishti at all then? If creation is not real, and then definitely we understand, if so creation cannot be real, creation is not real. If we take the creation to be real, then we have all these problems. Understand what I'm saying? We saw all those things. Why should Upanishad present the creation at all? That we are going to see. But here, when the Upanishad presents the creation, there must be some benefit, isn't it? Prayojana must be there. By studying, understanding the creation. Okay, there was space and from the space this came and from that this came. Like that, we studied different Upanishad presents, different forms of Srishti. By studying this creation, Srishti portion, what do we benefit? What benefit is there for us? If you see, there is no prayojanam at all. Really, there is no prayojanam. So whenever there is no prayojanam is not there, we call what now? Arthavada vakyani. See, the Shruti, the mantras, the statements of Veda, which are used, which are presented in the Veda, they serve a purpose, but there is no real main benefit. If they do not contribute for any attainment of any benefit, then they are called Arthavada Vakyani. So, the mantras describing the Srishti in any Upanishad is not the Pramanam. Only they do not have any benefit. There is no benefit. And second thing, so if you already know creation is, do you need anything else for you to come and say there is creation? You already know there is creation. There is creation. To know there is creation, do you need any Shruti Pramanam? So Shruti can serve as a Pramanam to know something which is not known to you already. Anadhigata Vishaya Jnanartham eva Shruti. Shruti Pramanam, isn't it? There is creation, you already know. Why should Shruti come and tell you there is creation? Understand? Then Shruti cannot have the status of being the Pramanam if it tells you something which is already known to you. Is it clear? This is the next point. Therefore, Shruti will lose its status of being the Pramanam if you say that, oh, Shruti serves as a means of knowledge of the universe. No. Therefore, what you understand here is, creation is not real. If creation is not real, then what it is? Why does the Shruti Upanishad presents the Srishti at all? It is only a prakriya. It presents the creation ultimately to help you negate, to see there is the creation being not there. Okay? Thereby to arrive at the sadvastu. We'll see tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.